Bibles tonight into Psalm 119 in verse 176. It's the last verse in Psalm 119. I knew I was going to make some folks mad today. Amen. Several told me on the way out I didn't make them mad, but they didn't come back. Some did. Amen. But you know, the truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. And that's what the church needs to hear today, is the truth. Amen. We need to hear the truth, and sometimes the truth isn't what we want it to be, but the truth is still the truth nonetheless. Amen? And sometimes we have a preconceived notion in our own lives of what truth is, and the word of God will just shatter that all the way. Amen? And I want to preach truth. Amen? And if it runs people off, I don't intend to do that. That's not my goal. It's not my purpose. But I hope it don't. I hope it encourages people to draw closer to the Lord. That's our desire, amen? And that's why we preach the way we preach and what we preach. And we just want to see folks grow closer to Jesus. And, you know, John said, you know, we don't look like him yet. We've not yet attained all that we're going to be. But he said, when he comes, we shall be like him, amen? You know, that's our desire, is to get as close to a mirror and mirroring him, and as close to his image as we can get, amen, before he comes, amen, that we can have that relationship where folks look at us and say, yeah, you're one of his. Yes, they're one of theirs, amen. So we're thankful for that. And in Psalm 176, we'll let you sit down tonight. Everybody still looks tired, amen. He says, in this one verse, he said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And over in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And I want to preach to you on this thought tonight. God just had laid this thought on my heart and on my mind for this service tonight. And I don't know, I didn't know who was going to be here. I didn't know why he was going to be here. But God did. Amen. And he just laid this on my mind for tonight's service about when you lose your way. Amen. When you lose your way, we always think about someone when they have lost their way. They have backslidden, and they're like the prodigal son. They're down in the hog pen. I'm eating with the hogs. They look like the hogs, smell like the hogs, are acting like the hogs. And we think, well, yeah, that's the individual that has gone astray. But sometimes we stray in our daily walk. Sometimes the closest Christian in the closest walk with God finds themselves astray. When you get farther away from God than where you ever was in your life, you have strayed, amen, and you've lost your way, and you need to get back. Sometimes problems come our way, and they overwhelm us, and we lose our way because we get to focus in on our problems instead of on Jesus, amen. Sometimes we have a sickness comes into our life, and sometimes we allow the sickness allow us to lose our way. We falter in our faith. We falter in our relationship. We falter in being close to God. And we even question God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And we lose our way spiritually. Amen. And sometimes it's just the cares and the burdens of life and the sin that come our way that causes us to lose our way. The psalmist I was a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 119, 176, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Amen. If it can happen to David, it can happen to you. If it can happen to David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, it can happen to me. Amen. And I got news for you. It does happen to me. Amen. I get discouraged. I get frustrated. I get aggravated. I get depressed sometimes in the things I see happening. And I wonder, why should I keep doing what I'm doing? Because this is what God has called me to do. Amen. It's easy to lose your way, and it's easy to lose the place where you need to be, and it's easy to find yourself, instead of going down the straight and narrow, veering off in some path that's leading you down that broad path to destruction. Amen. And it's just as simple as making a mistake. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 73 gives us, I think, one of the greatest indicators of how easy it is to lose your way. Asaph, as he penned this psalm, and I love this psalm. I love Psalm 73. And I think every Christian, and I tell you this every time it comes up, I will tell you this, every Christian ought to read it on a regular basis, at least once a month. Amen, because I tell you what, it's easy to look into the world and see how everything seems like it's all hunky-dory out in the world and lose your spiritual direction. Amen. How do we become lost? How do we lose our way? We get distracted when we're traveling. In Psalm 73, Asaph, he said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, when you're going down the road and you're not paying attention, have you ever run past your exit on the highway? Amen. Have you got to talking and forgot where you was going and you went somewhere else? Amen. Here just a while back, they were working on Red Toad Road. It was shut, and we were coming down Belvedere Road to come to church. You don't know how many times I pulled out of my driveway. Instead of making a left to go to Belvedere Road, I made a right, and sometimes would start down Red Toad Road, and we'd get partway down the road. She said, oh, we forgot. It's closed. Because we were distracted. We were talking. We weren't focused on where we were going, and we allowed ourselves to make wrong turns and go the wrong way. We're going down the road and we're talking, and we forget to get off at the exit that we're going to get off on. And you know, it's so easy in our spiritual lives to be the same way. We get spiritually distracted, and before you know it, we forgot what God wants us to do. We forgot to be where God wants us to be. And we forgot to follow his direction. We're spiritually distracted, and we're spiritually lost. We've lost our direction. Amen. We've lost ourselves in the world. We get distracted, and we become lost when we start listening to bad direction. Amen. When you start saying, well, I can sit home and listen to the preacher on the TV that's begging for money and telling me it's all about health, wealth, and all this other stuff, and praise God, it's going to be all right, and that's the one I need to listen to. I start listening to the women preachers, and I tell you what, you women in this church that post stuff from Joyce Meyer and other ones need to stop it, amen. You need to quit giving her the recognition that she's looking for and seeking for. She has no business doing what she's doing, amen, and if she's wrong in her place that she stood up for, amen, if she's wrong in that, she's wrong, amen, and how can you trust anything that she's saying when you know she's wrong? She don't preach from a King James Bible. She's wrong, amen. She teaches that we can be whatever we want to be, and we can do whatever we want to do, and she's not the only one. There's others, but I'm just saying we need to stop letting these people that are giving wrong directions be our instructors and be our teachers and be our preachers and be our guides. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but the truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen? I heard I don't know how many ever heard of Brother Dorsey. He wrote some of the old hymns that we sang. He was a black a song leader and song director and singer from out of Chicago. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on when the way groweth drear. Precious Lord, linger. He wrote that song after his wife had died in childbirth and his baby had died. and his heart was in agony, and he was a crying, and he was asking, "Dear Lord, why? Lord, why? Dear Lord, why?" And one of the brothers that was with him, I said, "Brother, it's not just God. He's not just the Lord. He's our dear Lord." And he wrote the words to that song in the midst of that tragedy and in the midst of that trial. And one of his nephews, I was talking one time about his aunt telling him that she was a preacher. And he said, "No, you can't be a preacher. It's against God's word. It's contrary to God's word." And she said, "No, God called me to preach." And he put it point blank to her. He said, "Let me tell you something. In the Bible, I can read where God calls the jackass to speak, but he ain't never called no woman to preach." And he left it at that. Amen. And he left it right there. And that's where we need to leave it at Charlestown Baptist Church. Amen. Praise God. Plain and simple. Amen. There's just some things that ain't right. When it ain't right, nothing is going to come out of it's going to be right. And when you get bad direction spiritually, you're going to wind up lost and losing your way where you need to be. We make wrong turns along the way. We don't follow the road signs. We don't look at the direction that's given to us. And we wind up making a wrong turn. And before you know it, you're somewhere where you don't want to be. That happens to me at work all the time. We get into places, you know, the railroad runs through the choicest of neighborhoods. Amen. I was working in New York, working up through the Bronx. And man, I turned down a street one night, and back in the 60s, they made a movie about the 13th precinct in the Bronx. And it was called Fort Apache, the Bronx, because it was under that much trouble. We worked in places where the police told us that if you go in there and you get in trouble, don't call us. I'm not lying to you. You go in and you get in a problem, don't call us, because we ain't coming. Amen? And we made a turn, me and another guy. We working nights. We turned down a street one night, and he said, "Look at that." I looked up, and there's a great old big sign that says, NYPD 13th Precinct, Fort Apache, the Bronx. Amen. I said, "Ain't this a great place to be?" Amen. We made a wrong turn, and we got someplace. We didn't know where we was, but we knew we was at Fort Apache, the Bronx, but that ain't where we was trying to get to, and that ain't where we was wanting to go, and that's not where we wanted to be. And sometimes in our spiritual lives, we make wrong turns that takes us places that we don't realize where we're going until we get there, and when we get there, we find out that's not where we want to be. Amen. You know, sometimes you get lost. Brother Jerry was telling me they was trying to go to a church last night up the other side of Delta, up off of Route 74, where they sing on Saturday nights and stuff. And they were going up there, and they got up there, and they had the main road, Route 74, was blocked off for a parade because they had the Mason-Dixon Fair this weekend. And he said, "I thought, well, if we go back up this road and go up there and make a right somewhere, we should get there." He wound up sitting there in that traffic, waiting. But have you ever said, "You know, I think if I go this way, I think if I go down this road, I'm going to..." Anybody ever do that besides me? Amen. "I think it's going to get me to where I want to be." And you find out you go down this road and it didn't go to where you thought you was going to go or where it would bring you out at, and you make another turn, and then you've pretty soon you've made so many turns that you've done lost, and you don't know where you're at, and you've confused yourself because you tried something new. We got a lot of Christians that want to go try something new. They want to go try another church. They want to go try another denomination. They want to try another reality and religion, and they're finding themselves spiritually lost and spiritually bankrupt, and they wonder how they got there. One thing about it, sooner or later when you're lost, you got to just stop and say, "I'm lost." Amen. I've got lost. I always find my way back out. But when I realize that I'm not getting to where I wanted to go, I realize I got to stop and figure out where I am. And sometimes I don't have a map. Sometimes I didn't have anything. But, you know, you could always figure out whether you're going northeast, south, or west by the sun or the moon. You know, and I know where I want to go is, you know, in the east direction. I can kind of guide myself by that if I don't know anything else. But, you know, you got to stop. The psalmist said in Psalm 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He acknowledged. Amen. He acknowledged that he had gone astray. He acknowledged he was like a lost sheep. And when we lose our way, when we go astray, we need to stop and acknowledge that we're lost. And when we find out that we're lost, we'll find out that we can get to where we need to be. But we just got to stop and take a moment to acknowledge the fact that we are lost. In Psalm number 6, or 63, I mean, verses 1 to 2, the psalmist said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The psalmist said, you know, I've got to the place where I was in that dry and thirsty land, and I long to see the Lord. In Psalm 68, he says, God setteth the solitary family, the solitary and families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. We get lost, and we don't acknowledge that we're lost, we're never going to get found. Amen. We get lost, and we lose our place spiritually, and we don't stop and say, it wasn't somebody else's fault, it's my fault that I'm where I am spiritually, where I don't have the joy, I don't have the peace, I don't have the happiness, I don't have the contentment that I once had. I'm in a dry and thirsty land, and I need to stop and say, this isn't where I want to be. I want to be back in the sanctuary. I want to be back close to the Savior. I want to be back where He wants me to be. Amen. And then I can start the process of getting myself to where I need to be. Amen. And spiritually, that generally means at an altar someplace. Whether it's at your house, whether it's in your car. Spiritually, we need to get ourselves in the place where we need to be. I think 1 John 1:9, amen, is generally the best place to start. Acknowledge that we're lost. Acknowledge that we've lost our way and we're in a place where we don't want to be. And then take the necessary steps to get back. There's a few things in God's Word. Here's the message. Amen. How to get back when you found that you're lost. When you found you're in that dry and thirsty place spiritually. When you're no longer excited about Jesus and it doesn't move you to be in the house of God again. How about trying to check out your roadmap? Amen. I love that old song we sang, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. Yeah. Amen. The psalmist over in Psalm 119, in verse 105, he says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to know where you need to be spiritually? Check on the map. Yeah. Amen. Check on God's word. He will tell you about your life individually. He will point you out individually. He's got something for you individually, but you have to look. Amen. You have to find out where the road that you're going is going to take you. But more importantly, what road you need to be on to get to where God wants you to be. Amen. So many people miss their direction in life. So many Christians miss their spiritual calling and their spiritual work that God wants to do through them because they don't take time to open the Word of God and to read it and to get to where they want to be. We need to follow the road signs. Amen. You know, all the road signs in the world don't do a bit of good if you don't read them. Amen. You can get in your car and start driving down the road, and if you don't pay attention to the road signs, you're going to find yourself in trouble pretty soon. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself going down a one-way street the wrong way. You'll see that do not enter sign, and you'll turn down there and find yourself going, I see people looking at people. You know, find yourself going the wrong way. Be like the fellow on the telephone talking to his wife, driving down the interstate. She said, honey, be careful. She said, I'm looking at the television, and on TV there's a whole line of police cars following somebody. He said, I know. He said, it's a mess out here. He said, all these cars are coming down the highway the wrong way. These police cars are following behind me. And, you know, all the time it was him. Yeah, he was oblivious to it. And sometimes we're that way. Amen. Yeah, and somebody points it out to us because we didn't follow the road sign. Amen. Brother Jimmy Rowland was talking about one of their trips, and they were getting on an exit ramp to go wherever they were preaching or coming home or whatever, but they was on the highway, and they were coming up the exit ramp, and a tractor trailer was coming the wrong way down the exit ramp to them. Brother Jimmy said, all I did was get over as far as I could, scrunch my eyes, and said, Lord, don't let it hurt too bad. Amen? Because somebody was going the wrong way. It's dangerous when you go the wrong way. It's dangerous when you don't pay attention to the road signs and you don't let them. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Some road signs that we can follow to keep us on the right path, to keep us from making mistakes. Amen? And then we need to read the warning signs as well. Sometimes we only want to know what the speed limit is, amen, and where the exit is, but there's some warning signs along the way. Amen? You know, how many of you have ever missed the warning sign and got yourself someplace and got yourself in a dangerous situation because you didn't heed the warning sign? Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, writing to the Corinthian church. He said, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted. He was talking about the children of Israel who drank from the water. They drank from that spiritual rock. They ate the manna that God had provided, and they died in the wilderness because they refused to obey God. They refused to follow His instruction and His direction and His guidance. And he said they were examples, and the things that went through their lives as they perished in the wilderness were examples. They were a warning sign unto us. Neither be ye adulterers, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the ends of the world to come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he falls. Let me tell you something, young people. You think we just tell you what we tell you because we don't want you to have fun. No, we're trying to warn you of the dangers that are ahead. Amen. Let me tell you something, Christian. We don't preach the things that we preach because God doesn't want you to have a good time. God wants you to have a good time. But Satan wants you to have a great time as well. Amen. And Satan has his own ways let you think and make you think that you're going to have a great time. But his ways are ways that lead to destruction. And a good time that God will give you will never leave you wanting. Amen. Will never leave you sorry that you had made that decision. I feel sorry for addicts. You know, they say heroin is so addictive that the first time that you try it, you're addicted. Most drugs, it takes a while for an addiction to take place and to set up a desire and an addiction in your heart and your life. But they say heroin gives you a feeling like nothing else on earth can give you. And your body craves that to the extent to where it's the most addictive narcotic that they know of, because of that feeling of euphoria, that feeling of happiness. But the problem with it is what gave you that feeling the first time won't continue doing that. And it takes more, and it takes more, and it takes more. And it destroys your life eventually. Sin will give you that feeling of euphoria. Amen? Look, I don't make no bones about it. There are pleasures in sin. Amen? The adulterer and the adulteress, they find pleasure in their adultery for the moment. The fornicator finds pleasure in the fornication for the moment. Amen? The drunk finds pleasure in the high that he gets, but when he's hung over the next day, they never put that on TV, do they? People hanging over the toilet, sleeping with their head in the toilet all night because they're puking their guts up all night. They never put that on the commercials. But there are pleasures in sin for a season. And the Bible don't mask that. The Bible is truthful. Amen? And Christians, sometimes we run our kids off because we don't tell them the truth. We only want to tell them that there are pleasures in sin. But the thing of it is, the pleasures of sin can't continue to satisfy you like Jesus can. And what sin gave you pleasure today won't satisfy you tomorrow. Pornography is another addictive thing. Let me tell you how far pornography can take people. First people start watching, they call it soft porn, it's not real bad. Then they get into hardcore porn, and pretty soon they're into child pornography. We see it all the time in our newspaper. We hear about it on the news. It probably not a couple months goes by at a time. You don't hear where they arrested somebody else, and they had all these images of child pornography on there. Can you imagine somebody that sick? That's what it takes to thrill them. But pornography is so bad, it's got even worse than that. They have a form of pornography where the individual who's the object of the sexual abuse is literally killed at the end of the thing. Young ladies and young men who participate in these things. And people are so addicted that the normal things no longer give them the thrill that they get in watching it. And they degrade to the place where they watch this stuff. Yes, there are pleasures in sin for a season. But let these be warnings unto you. Amen. Let the acts that these people done be the warning signs to keep you away from that. The adulterers and the fornicators and the adulterers and those who wanted to tempt Christ and those who murmured and complained. Let them be warning signs. Because when you don't heed the warning signs, you'll find yourself in a dry and barren land, thirsting for something that the world can no longer provide you, the world can no longer give you. It promised you everything, but it's left you spiritually bankrupt. It's left you spiritually hungering and desiring for what the world can't supply. We need to heed the warning signs. We need to follow the GPS. Amen. You know what GPS? It's God's positioning system. Amen. We need to be where God wants us to be. Amen. We need to listen to Him. He said in John chapter 16, talking about the Holy Spirit, He said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." Amen. If we'll just listen to that still small voice inside, if we'll just listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to our heart and life, we'll find ourselves on the straight and narrow road. We'll find ourselves in the safe way. We'll find ourselves in the right way. We'll find ourselves in the expedient way, and we won't find ourselves where we don't need to be. People say, "Well, I didn't realize I was going the wrong way." Liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen. If you're a child of God, and you come to me and tell me you didn't know you were sinning, you're a liar. Amen? Point blank. I ain't going to make it pretty. Because the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. He won't lead you to fornicate. Amen? He won't lead you to commit adultery. Amen? He won't lead you into the world and into the paths of unrighteousness with the unrighteous and to do the things that the unrighteous folks do. He won't take you there. But He'll guide you into all truth. Amen. But sometimes my GPS is on. Mine's a woman's voice. I call it Mabel. Amen. My mom used to come get in the car and go on a trip. She'd bring a whole bag of maps. I said, "Mom, you don't need them." "Well, I bring them." So then the whole time I'm going anywhere, she'd have her map out. "Well, we used to always go, you know, we used to always go this way." "Well, Mom, they made new roads since then, you know, that are much." "Yeah, but we always went this way." So then I took to when she come to get in the car, I took her bag of maps and I put them in the trunk. Well, she got in the car, and she kind of knew I was getting perturbed, right? We're going down the road. She reaches in her purse, and she pulls out a map from about 1962, you know. "But we always used to go this way." I said, "Mom, put the map away. You don't need that. But you ought to go this way." And the whole time I'm going this way, she wanting to go that way. And her favorite one was going down south. She wanted to ride the 340 all the way down through Stephen City and all that, you know, and I'm turning off on Route 7 going over to 81, right? "But we always went this way." You know, and I'm following behind this truck, and he's doing about 35 miles an hour. I said, "Mom, we're going this way." "But we always went this way." And this is before they widened it down there at Berryville. Amen. But she always wanted to go down the goat pass. Amen. And when I'm going somewhere, I want to get from point A to point B as quickly as I can. You know? And I'm driving over. She said, "But we all," and the whole time I've done turned off Route 7 and I'm heading over to 81. "But we always went down here and then we caught Route 10 and or 11, whatever it was, down through there. And we always went this way." I said, "But Mom, now we're going this way. Would you please put the map away?" And it was always, so now when we're going down the road and the GPS says, "I turn here," and I know I don't want to turn there. I want to go on up another way. And it's gone. I said, "Shut up, Mabel." Amen. Amen. But you know what? When I get to where I don't know where I'm at, I got somewhere to where I didn't know where I was going. I do whatever Mabel says. Amen. Because I don't want to stop and pull the map out. So look, when Mabel says turn here, I turn. Mabel says turn here, I turn. You know, she might take me the long way around sometimes. And has been known to do that. You know, people plug their GPS in to come to my house, and sometimes it takes them to the development down behind me. I've got a Garmin that'll bring me right to my house. I think it's the TomTom. I think sometimes it takes people into the other way, and they don't know where it's at. But praise God, I know God's positioning system. Knows exactly where I'm at. Amen. But He knows where I need to be. Amen. And if I will listen to what He says, I will be. Amen. where I need to be. But I can't ignore it. I can't not go the way that he says. But when I'm lost and I've lost my way, most of the time he wants to take me back to the altar. Amen? To get me back to where I need to be. Amen? And lastly, and I know y'all waiting on this one, we got to stay on the right road. When the Lord puts us on the path and he puts us on the road, we need to stay there. Amen. You say, well, how do I know I'm on the right road? You read the road signs. How do you know there's not going to be problems up ahead? You look for the warning signs. Amen. How can I know that I can be sure that this road's going to get me to where I'm going, because he'll never take you to where he can't keep you. He'll never take you to where he's not provided and made a way for you. 1 Peter 2 and 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. You see, when I set out to go somewhere, I don't have to go where someone's not been before. Amen. There's roads. Brother Chris told me he was in Honduras with Brother Josue. And they went up into the mountains to preach. And sometimes when you see Josue, if you follow him on Facebook and see him, you know, sometimes he's going up in the mountains, sometimes he's on a mule, sometimes he's on a horse, sometimes he's walking. But Chris said this particular time, he must have thought Brother Chris didn't want to ride a mule or a horse, so they got dirt bikes. And they rode up this mountain, and Chris said, I was never so terrified in all my life. And following him like a madman up this mountain and back down the other side and through rivers and streams and creeks, he said, but Josue knew where he was going. He had been there before. Amen? And he said, I knew as long as I could keep him in sight and I could follow Josue, everything was going to be all right. Several years ago, right after Becky got married, we went to Puerto Rico. And there's a rainforest there in Puerto Rico. Did you ever go to Puerto Rico when you was in Roosevelt Roads? We used to go there when I was in the Navy, and El Junque, rainforest. Well, we went to the rainforest, but as we was getting ready to go, they said, be careful now when you go up there. Last week, a woman wandered off of the trail into the rainforest, and they still haven't found her. It is so dense, it is so thick. But as long as you stayed on the road, as long as you followed the path that had been made before you, was all right. But if you got off them trails and got off them roads, there was a danger of getting lost. Folks, Jesus has laid the path out before us. He's given us road signs. He's given us warning signs. He's given us a guidance and direction system. And he's given us a roadmap. But sometimes we lose our way and we need some help to get back. I don't know tonight, and I'm not talking, like I said, I'm not talking about someone who's out in gross sin. Maybe depression has got you. Maybe fear has got you. Maybe something is keeping you from walking as close to God. Maybe you're dealing with a relationship that's caustic and it's just a problem. I don't know what it is, but there's things that cause us to lose our way. And Jesus wants you to know that there's a way to get back. That's why I like that song, Brother Stan, Back to the Cross. We lose our way, we need to get back. There's always...